It's time for another Internet Advisor Show podcast. Since 1998, we've been helping computer users get on the Internet, get around it, and get over the problems they encounter there. The Internet Advisor is a two-hour weekly radio program heard on WJR 760 AM in Detroit since 1998 and across the state of Michigan on the Michigan Talk Network. Now, here are your hosts with this week's Internet Advisor podcast.
Welcome to the Internet Advisor, your place for answers to your computer questions since 1998, with your co-hosts Gary Baker and Foster Brown and their team of tech experts. The door is always open at InternetAdvisor.net, on Facebook, and through Twitter. But right now it's time to get you in touch with your helpful hosts on this week's edition of Internet Advisor.
Welcome aboard our holiday edition. Hi, I'm Foster Brown, co-host of the Internet Advisor, along with a great group of guys in studio here, ready to talk about some very interesting topics today, like the change in voice that you're going to be hearing inside of your Ford coming up very soon. We'll have somebody here talking about that coming up. We'll also talk about how now Skype is going to be talking to you, even if you don't understand the language of the person you're talking with. And we'll be looking at Xfinity hotspots. That's just the first hour. Well, thank you again for allowing us to be part of your holidays. This is kind of our holiday edition. We're being heard on our affiliates, and we're delighted to be with you. And thank you very much for letting us into your life. And for those of you who found us on our podcast, thank you very much for downloading or streaming this from our website. And we'll remind you again, by the way, that you can simply tell your friends about that. Go to InternetAdvisor.net and click on the podcast link there, and you can listen to a whole show, parts of it, whatever pleases you. But this is our holiday edition, and we do celebrate a number of holidays here. Christmas, of course, at this time of year, but Hanukkah as well. And Rick Broida, one of our members here of the team, is celebrating Hanukkah right now. Matter of fact, Rick is going to be here at the beginning of the second hour with a report on his zombie activity. It's going to be kind of cool talking with him about his first full week of being trapped in a room with a zombie. It was working out well for him. Also with us in studio right now, Mr. Ed Rudell. Good to have you, Eddie.
I'm doing good. And, I'm still doing a little Christmas shopping. And, even though, Christmas may be over for some areas, I'll still be doing, because I like Christmas shopping after Christmas
Day. Well, the best bargains are out there, I bet.
That's right. And I'm looking for a 60-inch TV.
Ooh, 60-inch TV. My word.
Yeah. I got a wall I don't want to paint.
Cal Carson, you were out shopping for a 60-inch TV, weren't you?
No.
Didn't I see that on Black Friday?
First of all, I wouldn't go with anything that small. I have a 70-inch.
Oh.
And that was last year.
Oh, my.
Yeah, matter of fact, actually, it was last year at this time. I did, just after Black Friday, I did go out and shop for one. But it wasn't during the Black Friday sale because I couldn't get the cooperation that I wanted for Black Friday. So I ended up doing it afterwards, and it worked out really well. And I'll be doing my Christmas shopping like I do every year, either in a bank line, getting money envelopes for my nieces and nephews, or online. I'll be clicking and letting them deliver it directly to the door.
Yeah. We got a lot of gift cards this year too.
It's a great way to go.
And a lot of the gift cards, I'm staying away from the Visas and MasterCards because they take so much off the top.
Yeah.
And even other stores do the same thing that they take off per month that you don't use. The one that I found that works the best for me anyways is Amazon cards. I get an Amazon card, the kids type it in, it's there, it doesn't remove it. It's always credited on their account.
They are very, very slick about it. Shane Hamlin with us too.
Hey.
The almost birthday boy.
Yes, tomorrow. But yes.
We'll celebrate today.
You're going to be doing to show a zombie in the studio here until I get my caffeine intake. Gotta get that going.
Have you done your shopping? Do you do that?
Believe it or not, I did it last night all on Amazon.
Did you?
Yeah. Boom, boom, boom. Added it all to the cart until I got it all ready, looked at my cart, and bought it all. And it's all going to be here Monday.
They have made the shopping experience so seamless that I try my best to shop locally if I can.
Mm-hmm.
Local shops. I live in downtown Royal Oak, and there are a lot of small businesses there. We try to support them, but boy, it is so convenient. I'm a Prime member, so a lot of the stuff is free. The deliveries are free, and they have made it so easy to find stuff.
My kids' Christmas list this year were comprised of Amazon hot links.
Mm-hmm. You got to be careful though. I was noticing that if you don't, when you're a Prime member, it'll tell you if it's available before Christmas. It'll be
yes,
in green.
Yes, yes.
And it was so tempting. They've got that gift wrap option. yes. for $3 per, you know, and I was so tempted, but I added it all up. I'm like, oh, I can.
You got a little Wally over there. Wally, yeah, and he wraps gifts.
Wraps it all up.
No kidding. Oh, I didn't
know. Oh, I don't know that. I'm just making that up.
By the way, I heard that in New York, they ran this experiment, and it apparently it's working fairly well, where Amazon would deliver within 1 hour. Now, that was just within New York.
Yeah.
And I was listening to Leo Laporte. He had somebody, a friend of his in New York, who had ordered some candy. Within 20 minutes, he had it.
Yeah.
Well, I read that article as well. And, you know, it was anything that you wanted to order from it, you know. And this guy spends his day running up and down the streets delivering stuff. Most of the stuff he says he can deliver on his bicycle or by foot. Occasionally, he got one day a mini refrigerator.
Oh,
so it wasn't the real little cube. It was like that mid-sized one.
Yeah, right.
He says, muscling that sucker on the subway and getting it where it had to be going was just a pain.
So they're just these little humans trotting these things around downtown New York.
Yes, sir.
Oh, my word.
Yeah, yeah. The drone is just, you know, that fantasy. They're not actually running them in New York.
Well, no, not New York, no.
I would imagine as long as there's a distribution center near you, you could do the 1 hour, you know?
Right. Yeah,
and the drones would work in some places outside of obviously.
Well, in New York City, you could just get a catapult and say, and just put it on the roof of some tower with a parachute and say, pull.
When you order out for Chinese, you know, they just bring it along with you. You know, guy on that rickety bike just rolling along.
By the way, I want to mention, folks, that Mike Brennan will not be with us with his MI Tech News headlines today. We usually bring him along with some samples of it because he is right now very comfortable in Key West, Florida, on a little vacation, and he will be rejoining us next week with some brief reports. Both at our last broadcast for 2014 and our first one for 2015. He'll be giving us some short reports there. But this week he said, that's it. I'm cutting the ties completely. So,
you know, I really want to feel sorry for him, but I really, really don't.
I do not.
But he can make it up to us if he brings us back key lime pie.
Yes. Not the person that he was pictured with, however. So I put a little, instead of that image, I put up a little cartoon of what we imagined Mike would be. As a matter of fact, he sent us a picture from the bar that he was in, and I'm kind of glad that I stuck with the cartoon. In any case, you can get your MI Tech News, however, by simply going to internetadvisor.net and clicking down that, move down the page a little bit and look where Mike has a drink, and it says subscribe now. Click on that, and what it'll do is it'll bring that MI Tech News information to you every Friday. It includes headlines on technology and entrepreneurship from around the state, the world, and locally as well. And also great audio content. That's all free for you simply by subscribing to mitechnews.com. Guys, coming back in just a minute with Paul Eisenstein, our expert on cars, talking about the new voice in the Ford vehicles. Welcome to this special holiday edition of the Internet Advisor. I'm Foster Brown. Ed Rudell, Kel Carson, and Shane Hamlin in studio with us. Well, interesting article this week. One of the top ones, guys, was that some big changes at Ford in the vehicles. And to talk about those changes with us right now, Paul Eisenstein, who is the publisher of the Detroit Bureau, which follows the auto industry very carefully, as Paul has done for many, many years. Paul, welcome to the Internet Advisor again.
Good to be with you again.
Glad to have you on and to talk about something that is... It's been a long time coming in many ways, isn't it, Paul, that Ford would finally be changing out the technology for their in-car audio?
Yeah, this is a big news development for anybody who follows the whole infotainment world. Ford broke a lot of ground when it tied up with Microsoft about 7-8 years ago.
Yeah, they were one of the first.
They were one of the first. They weren't the first. You know, you had BMW
and
some stuff. But Ford really broke ground. It took things a big step further when they tied up with Microsoft to come up with the original Sync system.
Mm-hmm.
And this was a breakthrough for Microsoft as much as for Ford because they had been struggling to break into the automotive world. As we know, the infotainment has become the buzz. Many people buy cars based on the infotainment.
It's amazing. You know, not what's under the hood, but what's in the dashboard.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So for the fact that Microsoft got bumped aside is a major development, and it suggests that Ford was just getting fed up with not getting the sort of improvements that it wanted with the system. Based on a very preliminary experience with the new Sync 3, I think they have come up with something that should make a lot of people happy.
Now, on our homepage, we link to a couple of the screens that are were attached to an article. What I see in there is a lot cleaner look than what they had before.
Yeah, very definitely. Larger icons, less wording.
Yes.
More icons, so that it should be something that you can look at very, very quickly and know exactly what you're using. Anybody who has been a smartphone user knows that icons really tell you the whole story. It's the old picture is worth a thousand words.
Right.
And that's very true when you're in a behind the wheel of a car.
Absolutely.
And struggling to very quickly know exactly where to go.
Isn't
so the everything is larger, it's cleaner,
it's
and it appears to be much faster too. That's very important.
That is, I think, one of the big keys. Now, isn't it interesting? Am I remembering that GM also had a system in the car that they had to do some changing? GM just recently make a change in their internal car systems?
I don't.
Well, they have a bunch of them on different vehicles, but the one that they've taken a lot of heat for is the Caddy Q system. And it's frustrating to me because there were a lot of really cool things about the Caddy Q. For example, it had a proximity sensor in there, so it knew when your hand was approaching the screen and would add additional details. You know, a lot of times when you're when you're looking at a Navi screen, they have all this stuff up there, and it can be really confusing.
Oh, very.
So it takes away a lot of the things when you're just looking over there quickly to, say, figure out where you are on a map. And then when you want to actually get controls, as your hand approaches the screen, more things come out.
Well, you have
part of the problem was that it was too slow.
It almost seems like you have this dilemma with in-car communication. You want to have the driver be able to access the information, but you want them also to continue to maintain their looking on the road. So it seems almost counterintelligent to be having your focus away from the road to these devices. It would seem to be much more of a sense to have what they call the HUDs, the heads-up displays. Is anybody getting serious about that?
Yeah, a lot of people are getting much more serious about HUD. If you look in a lot of cars now, you already have at least an optional HUD system, which, as you know, was derived from fighter jets.
Yes.
In large part so that these guys didn't have to be looking all over. They could be looking at the world straight ahead, especially when they're in a dogfight, and know exactly what's happening in a whole range of things. They'd have all sorts of critical information up there. A lot of cars now have Navi information up on the screen gives you the left, right turn, straight ahead, and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you're going to see more. In fact, Jaguar is going to be showing a system at the upcoming Consumer Electronics Show, which, among other things, has what they call the Ghost Follow Me car. instead of putting directions, you know, an arrow that points in one way or another, this prototype system creates a phantom vehicle out in the distance as if there was a car that you were following.
I love it.
So effectively, as you're looking ahead, as you're approaching a corner where you would take a turn, the phantom car would appear to be taking the turn where you
will. I love it.
That's incredible.
That is incredible. Now, Bob, you mentioned something. Paul Eisenstein with us, by the way, publisher at the Detroit Bureau. We've got the North American International Auto Show coming up. You mentioned CES, the Consumer Electronics Show. And it's funny that what's happening now more and more, like last year, I sound like that's one long continuous car show or one long continuous electronics show.
It's both. It's really interesting that the Consumer Electronics Show, which used to be all about TVs and smartphones and computers and the like, a major portion of that show now is dedicated to automotive-related electronics. And a good portion of what we talk about when we cover the Detroit Auto Show is about the electronic technology.
Hey, Paul, in terms of this Ford system, because we have limited time here, this is going to be based on, it's called Sync 3. First of all, when will we see this, do you think?
It'll start with the 2016 model year, so we'll see it a little bit later in 2015.
Okay.
That's in the U.S., and it'll start rolling out across the world shortly after that.
And what, you think all the models, or will we be the higher-end models?
It'll start rolling out on some vehicles. We haven't had a clear definition of which products we'll get it first. Eventually, it will be on all Ford products.
How about this? It's based on, as I understand, the Q and X system, which is BlackBerry.
Yeah, well, it's based on the Q and X operating system.
Right.
That's, if you will, like Windows 7 or Apple. But the integrated software was developed by Panasonic, which also provides much of the hardware, and Ford worked very closely with Panasonic to develop the final, if you will, the app system.
What I'm considering, the reason I brought that up about BlackBerry is, I understand that a lot of the car systems out there, across the different brands, are using essentially something that's based on a BlackBerry OS. And where BlackBerry is failing everywhere else, here's BlackBerry coming in the back door.
It's the operating system that BlackBerry bought in a desperate bid to try to make the BlackBerry, the phone, more competitive. You may recall they tried launching some new phones this last year that failed, but the operating system is very good. It just the phones didn't work very well. So that's a real surprise.
Will Microsoft have any involvement anymore going forward with the internal systems in Ford?
Yeah, from what I understand, Microsoft will still be working with Ford on a number of other things. They're just not going to be working on Sync going forward.
Okay. Paul Eisenstein here, the publisher of the Detroit Bureau. We can find you online at the Detroit Bureau. By the way, it's linked to you on our homepage here at internetadvisor.net. I hope we can catch you also during the auto show, which is coming up, North American International Auto Show, coming up very shortly here in the Detroit area.
Yeah, we definitely have to. We also have to be talking about things like the new streaming mirror that Cadillac is going to be launching on the CT6 next year.
Streaming mirror?
Yes, sir. Oh, you missed this one. This is a good one.
I did. Give me a quick hint.
This is the world's first streaming mirror. You'll be able to flip. By law, they'll still have to have a conventional mirror, but you hit the toggle switch, which today you would use to go from day to night mirror.
Yeah.
And you will have a streaming video input from a camera mounted on the back deck. This camera will give you, they claim, 300% better visibility. You won't have heads and headrests. You won't have pillars.
Right.
You'll be able to see the world pretty much as if you had a convertible.
Wow. So and this looks backward, you said?
Yep. It will essentially give you the same view as you would have with a rear view mirror in a convertible. Very unobstructed view.
Fascinating.
They're going to be first, it appears, though Nissan is supposed to be talking about. I've seen the Nissan system coming soon.
These are incredible. You know, all this advanced technology and the high models, we know in a few years will be in the, maybe even the beater that I drive.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, Paul, thank you so much for being with us here. Paul Eisenstein, the publisher of the Detroit Bureau. You can find a link to that on our homepage. Paul, thank you so much. Have a great holiday.
Pleasure to be with you. Happy holidays.
All right. Thank you. Coming back in just a minute, another incredible jump, but the Skype translator, one of the great challenges in our world, which seems to be growing smaller and smaller all the time, is when we talk with people in other countries. The obvious question is, how do I communicate with my friend in Germany who may not have a very good command of English? Or how does he communicate with me when I have little or no command of German? But we want to talk with one another. Well, there have been ways of translating chat programming, but for the very first time this week it was announced that Microsoft has developed something called Skype Translator. And that is going to help with live conversations. That's it, live folks. Live conversations where the conversation will be going on roughly directly with a person in another language, and they will then hear that conversation translated on the fly to them. So, to help us understand this breakthrough, a remarkable one, Mark King is with us. He's a cloud architect at the Microsoft Technology Center in the Heartland Division here. Mark, thank you very much for joining us and helping us old Star Trekkies wonder if we're not seeing the realization of the transcoders.
I'm glad to be here. And while your introduction on that German part, that's coming very shortly, but initially we have Spanish, so I understand that you're bilingual in Spanish, and
yes,
and we can absolutely translate English to Spanish and vice versa at this point.
That's incredible. Now, one of our guys here was Ed. You were bringing up the fact that translation has already been part of chat.
You know, yeah. In our corporations, we use chat by various vendors, either Cisco or Yahoo or whoever, and they're. Appeared to be the ability that we could type back and forth in our native languages and they'd be translated back and forth. So irrelevant, you could actually have a support person in India or Mumbai, or in Germany, and we could just chat back and forth in their native languages.
So that's existed already, right, Mark? Am I right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That's very important. I mean, you start to talk about chatting and translation and web services, whether it's been Google or historically Babelfish, which was AltaVista, now Yahoo,
yeah.
Both services, and of course Microsoft's Bing Translator service, of course, which has actually led to a little bit of these Microsoft research innovations with real-time voice translation. So absolutely, the chat translation capabilities have been there for quite a while.
Now, this what we're talking about here, I wanted to establish that, which has been around. By the way, as somebody who was bilingual, it made me crazy. I hated the machine translations because inevitably they were horrible.
Well, you know, but
they were very bad.
Well, you know, but don't you love your Microsoft phone and the voice assistants?
I mean, oh, now the Cortana.
The Cortana.
That's what I want to move to because that seems to be that was like the next step that was going on. And as I understand, this is kind of a collaboration between Skype, Microsoft Research, and Microsoft's Information Platform Group, Mark. Am I right on that?
Yeah, you are. So Microsoft Research developed the technology that's behind what's in Bing Translator, the Xbox with the Xbox One and the voice of speech recognition, Cortana, and several other Microsoft products, including Skype Translator. So absolutely.
I have been really impressed with Cortana. Very, very impressed. My wife has the Lumia 1540, and the recognition is great. It's far better than I have with Siri on my iPhone, to be honest with you, in terms of, you know, the interaction and everything else is really, really impressive. But what is the jump then that was made to this next level? Because this is incredible. The trials that I've looked at, we linked a couple of them here, where somebody is speaking on the fly. Now, is there somebody simultaneously translating in the background?
No. That would cost way too much money to have that.
Right.
To have that type of system. No, actually, so Skype Translator is really based on two kind of different technologies that are being brought together. So the first one is that automated speech recognition, or the ASR software.
Okay.
That's what's been around for quite a while, and you're very comfortable with that, leveraging it with Google Now or Siri, and of course Cortana as well. So that's that kind of automated speech recognition software. And so when you say something to your phone, like, hey, drive to a certain destination, or what's the weather like outside, those are pretty common tasks that you would do. One of the things that we, in Microsoft Research, about a year ago at this point, there was a little bit of a breakthrough, and I don't know if your wife had the 1520 back about a year ago.
No, that was just recently.
Okay, so those of us that kind of had the Microsoft, what was called Tell Me a long time ago, which was the predecessor to the speech recognition software in Cortana, we noticed that, you know, we would say something and it would take a little while for it to actually give us the results of what we said or give us the answer. About a year and a half ago, we started leveraging some of the capabilities with our deep neural networks and machine translation software. And so that's, you know, that statistical machine translation stuff, that kind of SMT basis, which listens to us, understands kind of just like the human brain understands what's part of a conversation, and then takes that information and feeds that into the solution.
So in essence, it learns.
It learns, exactly, and that's why we have released this product right now in beta so quickly. We just announced Skype Translator, if you think about it, in February.
Yeah.
We announced it. We showed it off at the Code conference.
I remember that. Shane,
you know,
go ahead.
Is that possibly why, you know, I've upgraded my Windows phone to the HTC M8, which I love, and I've noticed, and I was wondering why, is it possible that when as I'm speaking and more using Cortana, it's getting quicker? She's learning. Is that what's going on here?
Absolutely. The more you use the technology, the better that the trained technology and the machine translation software understands what you're saying and understands what people are saying.
Now, with the Skype translator, would this be available for the free version of Skype or the purchased version when, you know, when you have more than one person on there?
Is this a premium feature?
Is it a premium feature?
Today, it is a free feature, right? So,
cool.
I think the long term, I'm not exactly sure about the technology and you know how we're gonna
That's fine.
So if I have Skype right now, Mark, could I? Mark King, by the way, with us, he's a cloud architect with Microsoft. If I have Skype right now, would I be able to access that kind of translation in Spanish? I realize that's the first language you're working with right now.
Yeah, so it's all part of a preview program. So if you just go to skype.com/translator and sign up for it, you'll get put into the program. It's an update to the software, and really all you have to do is select what language you're speaking. And then mm-hmm. I would, of course, be on the other end and tell you what languages I could speak.
Okay.
And so once you went into it, then, you know, and as soon as you're granted access into the program, which, of course, again, we're looking to have Spanish-speaking people into the program and others.
Yeah.
So as soon as you get granted in the program, you begin to use it, and it's free to use. So.
That's fascinating.
So, Foster, now you have an excuse to talk to yourself. you could talk to yourself in Spanish and listen to yourself in English and see how it works.
It was funny. I carried on a half-an-hour conversation today with a friend of mine who is we both work together in Spanish, and it was delight being able to talk with her. But the idea now, Ed, is that you could have a conversation with her. She's speaking in Spanish, which she's most comfortable with, her native language, and you in English. And there's not much of there is a lag there, right, Mark?
Yeah, that's actually the one thing that's a little bit hard to get used to when for your example, Foster, when you speak English and Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to quickly respond to her question, but
right.
when you speak, and you can see the newest demonstrations that have been done over the past couple of weeks with gadgets and in The Verge and those. The technology's gotten better, so it's not as long as it's not a very long wait,
right.
but you still have a little bit of a lag. So if you actually speak Spanish and you hear a question come across,
yeah.
you're in tune to just want to answer that question because you understand what it said. But if
yeah.
you, for my example, I speak very, very little Spanish. So if I'm talking to somebody in Spanish, which a friend of mine, Sebastian, I talk to him quite a bit, and so his native tongue is Spanish. And so, while he does understand the English, he took him a minute or two to get used to that. But after that, it was a really great experience.
So, and what's happening right now, I think, is it's learning. The whole system is learning, right?
Absolutely.
This is going back now. Where does the conversation take place? On some huge server farm?
Yeah. So the services are hosted in. So the machine translation software is all in our Azure cloud. When we bought Skype about 3 years ago, a little bit over 3 years ago, we started to move from their kind of peer-based model where they had peer-based supernodes
mm-hmm.
to now having server and cloud-based supernodes just so that we would use less of their computer resources. So all those technologies are sitting in our Azure cloud. The machine translation software and the learning engine is sitting in that cloud.
It's absolutely fascinating. Hey, did you have something else?
Well, I was just going to mention, I mean, it makes sense to use Spanish because a lot of technical terms, scientific terms, engineering terms, you know, and computer terminology share the same common root. And matter of fact, you would say them the same way. So you're not going to lose something in translation.
But it's
like
almost
Bill
like,
Murray did,
for right? those of yeah. us who have learned, it's kind of interesting, Mark, for those of us who have learned to speak another language, I started learning it when I was 18, what's crazy is, here I have a university student's brain, but I was having to speak in kindergarten Spanish.
Yeah.
And essentially, the system is learning that as well. It's a fascinating topic. Mark King, thank you so much for being with us. That's called Skype Translator. Go to our homepage, internetadvisor.net, to find out more about that. Mark, you have a very happy holiday.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Back in just a moment to talk and find out a little bit more about the Xfinity hotspots. And Cal, I expect some hard questions from you. Thank you so much for those folks who are listening to us and our affiliates. Glad to be with you here over this holiday period. And then for you folks who have downloaded us on our podcast, thank you very much for doing that as well. And for the rest of you who may have kind of just snuck in here, wonder how I could get hold of one of those Poet podcasts, simply go to internetadvisor.net and set yourself up by clicking on the podcast link there. It'll give you all the podcasts so that you can get to download, you can stream it, or as you may be seeing now in our show notes, you can take individual segments of the program and listen to them rather than the whole thing. But a lot of people, I kind of consume podcasts by, you know, starting them when I'm driving or when I'm walking the dog or wherever it may be.
How about as you're wrapping, you know, holiday presents?
There you go.
Great time. You know, I'm lighting a menorah, man. I'm listening to a podcast.
There you are. That's another way of doing it, too. And this podcast, of course, the podcasts are available on Sunday night after our regular program hours, which are 4 to 6 p.m. on WJR in Detroit. Now, by the way, thanks to Mike Stetz and Annie Nichols, who are working behind the glass here and making our program possible. You know, guys, I think I told you about the other day I had a problem with my Comcast feed. It suddenly broke down, and I wasn't able to get to the Internet. But as I looked on my computer for a Wi-Fi hotspots, lo and behold, something called Xfinity showed up. And with us to talk about that experience is Michelle Gilbert. She's the Vice President of Public Relations for Comcast Heartland Region. Michelle, thank you very much for joining us here on the Internet Advisor.
Oh, it's my pleasure to be with you, Foster.
And I got to tell you, you guys were a lifesaver to me in that experience. When my Comcast service went down in our building, our apartment building, there was an Xfinity hotspot nearby. And as I clicked onto it, I found that it was really, as a Comcast customer, a very simple matter of getting hooked up to that. But I'll let you talk about what the Xfinity hotspots are and then how people can connect to them.
Sure. So this year we have introduced the Xfinity hotspots all over the country, and by the end of the year we expect that there will be 8 million nationwide.
Wow.
And so what this really does is it makes it very easy for us as consumers who consume a lot of data, mm-hmm. particularly on our mobile devices. It allows us to really keep our wireless bills intact by taking advantage right. and leveraging Wi-Fi where it's available.
Absolutely. And so instead of being on your data plan, you're able to do this. Now, the hotspots are created how? How are the hotspots being created?
So in essence, the hotspots are being created a couple different ways. There is a second SSID on our gateways and many of our gateways in our residential homes. Now, I want to point out, this is a very important point. We notify our customers that there is the second SSID and that it is being activated, and it is absolutely every customer's choice whether or not they want to keep it active.
Now, excuse me, yeah. just at that point there, they can only do that with a certain modem or box that you would get from Comcast, right?
Yes, and we've got a couple different gateway models where the second SSID is certified for the Xfinity Wi-Fi hotspot. Our goal is that next year we're going to certify all of our devices so that everybody can take advantage of this value-add feature if they want to.
Even somebody like me who has an existing Comcast modem?
Yes, yes. Ooh. We are working on certifying all of our modems.
So in essence then, I won't have to go out and buy one or go get one. Could in the future, then, I will simply have, you mentioned this SSID. In other words, I will have a second pipeline to the internet part of my modem.
That is correct. And what we're finding is particularly our residential customers, and we can talk about when you're out and about and you are able to leverage one in a public area, but what we're finding with our residential customers is they want that second SSID because, let's face it, the first thing that people say when they come to our homes is, "Hi, what's your Wi-Fi password?"
That is true. That is true.
Yeah. And I mean, look, I have an 11-year-old daughter, and that is the first thing her friends say to me.
Yep.
They come in,
yep.
they've got their iPhones, they've got their iPods, they've got whatever device in hand,
yep.
and they all want to get online together and play Minecraft.
Right. So, they got their little tablet, and they want to do that. Shane, you had something.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
You know,
and we as parents have trained them, make sure you use Wi-Fi when you can, because we're very conscious of how much data we're consuming.
Absolutely.
I mean, speaking of data, you know, as a business, I have a business in Sterling Heights, and we have Wi-Fi that we offer. Well, the hotspot is coming from our facility,
right?
Sure.
You know, and there's two separate lines going in, so that we're not affected.
Right.
You know,
right.
Our particular business internet is not affected by the Wi-Fi. But at a home, what's preventing people from saying, you know, hey, I've got one line coming into my house. What happens if I get this data hog next to me that taps into my line? I mean, there's only so much bandwidth. You know, I mean, what's going to prevent them from?
Does it affect, in other words, does somebody on that second SSID affect my usage? Cal, you were going to ask a question along those lines?
Yeah, exactly. Matter of fact, are you throttling that second one? And the second question that goes along with it, what sort of security am I offered with that type of thing? Because I'm running through my own particular connection if I'm a Comcast user. What's keeping people from hacking on that second SSI?
Okay, so which question should I answer?
The throttling. The throttling question is, you know, we've only got one garden hose coming in. If you've got somebody who is taking a lot of the water out of that, how much is left for me? That's very simplistic.
Okay, so keep in mind a couple of things. First of all, no, there is not throttling going on. What we have done when we established this initiative is we have put in place bandwidth speeds. First of all, Comcast is continuously adding to the pipe, if you will, and expanding our network so that we can provide our customers with a bigger pipeline. So certainly the more devices you put onto a network, yes, it could impact speed, but you're going to have to consume a lot of data. And when you think about how people are using it, it's not like somebody is going to camp outside your home for, you know,
I used to do
50
that.
50 feet away and get on your Wi-Fi.
I have to say, Michelle, I used to do that. It was called war driving, and I would drive around and look for an open hotspot. But no, you're right. There's too many other places to get it nowadays.
I mean, there really is. I mean, what we're talking about, what most people are doing, and yes, there are always going to be a few bad apples in the bunch, but what most people are doing is they're leveraging the hotspots when they're going to visit people. So that, in essence, allows you to keep your system completely separate so that you don't have to be giving your password out to lots of people.
That's a key thing. Now, let's go to the second step, which was security.
Yes.
How secure is that second one?
This is completely a separate SSID. It is very secure. Now, there are obviously things that you as a consumer should do, regardless of whether you have a second SSID active or not, to keep your system safe, security and,
sure.
and antivirus protection and things like that. But this second SSID is completely separate and secure from your home private Wi-Fi.
All right, Michelle Gill, I want to thank you so much for being here. We've run out of time. We got to have you back again, okay?
I would love to come back.
Now, by the way, quickly, folks, the way you get into the Xfinity hotspot is by putting in your Comcast ID and then also your password. That gets you in, and then you can travel almost anywhere in the country and get on one of those Xfinity hotspots. Michelle, thank you. And again, we're going to have another date with you coming up soon, all right?
Sounds great. Thanks so much, Foster.
Happy holidays to you. Thank you very much. And we will do that. I'll have more information on that, but you can go to internetadvisor.net and find out more by clicking on the information there. Back in the second hour.
You're listening to a podcast of the Internet Advisor Show. If you want to see the show notes for this program, visit our homepage at internetadvisor.net. That's where you'll also find past podcasts, our toolkit full of free software to clean up your computer and keep it running strong, and other resources. If you have a question for our hosts, just click the contact form on the homepage or enter our forums and place your question there. You can also friend us on Facebook. Now let's get back to the second hour of the Internet Advisor Show podcast.
Hello, this is Foster Brown, the co-host of the program, and thank you very much for joining us for hour number two of the Internet Advisor. Now, normally when we are doing our live broadcast, you folks can call in with your questions, and we'd love to do that. But all week long, you're able to send us your questions by going to internetadvisor.net, clicking on the Contact Us button, and sending us your questions. And so we answer them during the week, and now during this program. We're going to be reading back to you some of those questions we've got this week, maybe even getting a chance to talk to some of those people as well. So stick around for hour number two. Thank you for being here for hour number two of the Internet Advisor. Foster Brown, co-host of the program, Ed Rudell, Cal Carson, and Shane Hamlin are in studio, and they're going to be earning their wages, such as they are this hour, talking about some of the problems that you folks have presented us and getting some answers for you. But this last hour, we talked about a lot of fascinating stuff. If you didn't hear it, go back and check out the podcast. We talked about the new system in the Ford program, the Ford cars, that'll be a Sync 3 system. We talked about Skype and its simultaneous translation. And finally, we talked about the Xfinity hotspots for Comcast.
Right.
We're going to step out of that very technical world with somebody who is a friend of ours who is very much into that technical world. That's Rick Broida, our gadget guy. He has also recently started a little business on his own, and that's called Trapped in a Room with Zombie. And it's a business that he started. You may have heard us talk with him a couple weeks ago. We're going to catch up with Rick now. He's had 1 week, and as a matter of fact, this weekend is his second weekend. We're going to find out how things have been going for Rick.
Well, Mr. Rick Broida is our gadget guy, and we're delighted to have him on at least once a month to talk about the newfangled gadgets that are out there. But right now we have him on to talk about his new business, which is I'll let him tell you. It has to do with zombies and being trapped with them in a room. Hi, Rick. How you doing?
Great, Foster. Thanks. Yes, this is a surprisingly non-techie venture for me. But the business is called Trapped in a Room with a Zombie, and I'm really delighted to be able to bring it to Detroit. It's actually in about a dozen different cities across the country right now, and even it's heading overseas as well. So,
oh, really?
it's now in Detroit. And the premise works like this. You basically come in with a group of up to 12 people. It may be all people that you know. It may be some strangers that you don't know. And we lock you in a room for 1 hour's time. And you need to solve various puzzles, figure out riddles and clues and things like that, in order to find a key that will help you to escape the room.
Uh-huh.
Now, the reason you need to escape is that there is a zombie chained to the wall, and every 5 minutes, the zombie gets an extra foot of chain. So
oh,
if you don't work out all the clues by the end of the hour, the zombie will be able to reach you, and he will enjoy himself a good dinner.
I love that. So you have been doing this now. Was it the second week, I think it is, that you've been doing this?
Yes, this is actually just our second weekend that we're in right now.
All right, so how has it gone so far?
Oh, you know, it's going just great. It's going just great. We've had a bunch of different groups in, and they all come out smiling. You know, the ones who didn't get eaten, of course. They all come out smiling and happy. It's really a lot of fun. It's a great date night thing. It's a great activity to do with your family. We're actually having a lot of groups come in from various businesses to do this as kind of a team building
yes.
exercise, because it's really great for that. It's the kind of thing where if you communicate well with others and, you know, somebody steps up as a leader, you know, this is really great for team building.
And if you don't communicate well with one another, it becomes very apparent because your dinner.
Your dinner, that's right.
So I heard you had a little trouble getting zombies initially.
Well, you know, zombies are hard to wrangle, but luckily we were able to find some great actors, a lot of them from nearby Wayne State University.
Right.
And we've got some great folks in there, and they're really having fun, and everybody who comes to see the show is having fun, so we're very excited.
So is this going to now become your new career? Will this consume your life from now on?
No, actually, I really started this with the idea of it being kind of a sideline business, and luckily because it runs mostly on the weekends and evenings, it won't take away from my first love, which is, of course, all the gadgetry and the writing.
Good. We're glad to hear they're going to be continuing to talk about the gadgets. By the way, just for our folks' information here as they're listening to us, where is this happening, and how would they get in touch with you to find out about getting themselves locked in a room with a zombie?
Right. So the show itself happens in the Penobscot building, which is right downtown on Griswold, just about a block away from Campus Martius. And the website is escapeplansmichigan.com. Or, of course, you can just kind of Google
sure.
Trapped with a Zombie, Trapped in a Room with a Zombie Detroit, and that will take you right to the site as well.
Yeah, because there's a main site for Trapped with the Zombies. By the way, where did this begin, Rick?
Well, you know, the gentleman who started this whole thing, his name is Marty Parker, and I think he actually first experienced it in Japan, where they have this concept of the room escape, and he kind of started the business here, but he added the hook of the zombie, which just adds a whole different element to it. It's fun, it's adrenaline, you know, it's not scary, it's not a haunted house or anything like that.
Yeah.
It's just that you have to work out these puzzles, which are complicated, but you have to do it with the added, excitement or adrenaline rush of the zombie being there just on his or her chain trying to nip at your heels.
I love it. Rick, thanks so much for being with us here and for this report. We look forward to talking with you in the new year about gadgets.
Yes.
CES is coming up very soon, and I'm sure you're going to have a lot to talk about when we get close to that, too.
For sure. Yes. Thank you very much, Foster.
All right. That's Mr. Rick Broida, who is our gadget guy and also is our zombie wrangler here in Detroit. Thanks for being with us, Rick.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Rick, for doing that. He is having a ball here on the weekends. Hey, coming back in just a minute, our team of experts are going to start answering some of the questions that have been presented to us by you out there. They've gone to internetadvisor.net. You click on the Contact Us button and send us your questions. It's been going on all week long, and we're going to take some time to talk with some of you folks or just to answer your questions coming up in this hour of the Internet Advisor when we put the experts to work for you right here on the Internet Advisor. It's the Internet Advisor's second hour. That is the one we kind of call your hour. That's when we're live. We have phone calls coming in from our listeners. And then on programs like this that are pre-recorded, we go back to our email and dig into the box there and take out emails and answer questions. And sometimes we get to talk to some of those people. And we've got Dennis Bailey waiting online here. We'll be talking with him in just a moment about his thing. Guys, I wanted to find something. One of the questions that came in this week, I'm going to handle real quickly. was somebody, Richard Heiss was his name, from the west side of Detroit, was saying, you've talked about owners of a store, Shane, kind of like yours, a computer store, local computer store. Mm-hmm. He said, I need the address. It's out on the west side. He said, probably Wayne Road, Westland, wherever. I was able to take him to a place that we have on our homepage at internetadvisor.net. If you scroll far enough down the page, you will run into...
It's down there a little ways.
It's down almost near the bottom where it says your trusted computer repair shops. And we created this list, Shane, in order to help. People would call us and say, I went to this shop and they were really great. And we've, of course, included your shop in there. But there are plenty of other ones in the Toledo area. And in particular, out on the west side in the Wayne area, there's Icon Computer Solutions that were suggested. And then there was, there was another one there that I'm trying to look for. But the idea is that you folks have called in, PC Gladiators on Wayne Road. Mm-hmm. So I just directed him to that part of our homepage, and I want to tell the rest of you folks this, two things. If you are looking for a great local shop with people like Shane behind the counter, who can give you great, they take their time to talk to you, help you solve your problems with your computer, and give you good advice in buying them, for instance, take a look at that list. And then secondly, if you've been working with somebody in a local shop that you really think are great people, that would really be helpful to other people, they fair pricing, etc., give us an email, let us know who they are, and we'll put them in that list, because it's only you folks who are our users who recommend these places and give us the reason why that we put in there.
And that would be a local shop wherever you may be, wherever geographically. You may be. Yep. We don't care if you're in Detroit, whether you're in Toledo, whether you're in Hamtramck, whether you're in Muskegon,
Lansing,
wherever. We want to know them all.
Yeah, you guys who are in our affiliates, please, we'd love to be able to give people in your area a link to one of these shops. So
I can do a mystery shop around them.
There you go. I have some questions about your shop coming up. But let's get to Dennis Bailey is with us. He's down in Tecumseh. Dennis, welcome to the Internet Advisor.
Hello.
I'm glad to get you on the air with us. Your question was about a program called System Mechanic Pro 14. First of all, how did you find out about that program?
My son told me about it. He'd used it.
Okay. And you downloaded it? Was it free?
Oh, no, it's not free. You have to pay for it.
Mm-hmm. How much did you pay?
I think it was $59 for 1 year.
It's not cheap.
My first question for you, Dennis, is why did you need it?
Well, my computer had slowed down a lot, and it just wasn't acting like it did when it was newer, younger. And I thought there were probably some problems with it. And he told me he'd had it for years, and it really worked great. And and so I tried it.
But what happened?
Well, first of all, you have to uninstall all your spyware and your virus protection because it's incorporated.
Mm-hmm.
And it seemed to work fine. It analyzes your system and. Mm-hmm. And gives you the opportunity to shut off a lot of startup items, which was
okay.
One of the things I wanted because it took so long to start.
Mm-hmm.
And everything seemed to work great until I tried to open a folder, and it wouldn't open.
Mm.
And all the rest of them did, but this one would not.
What was the folder?
Well, it was just some spreadsheets that I had made to keep track of medical expenses.
Okay.
I had backed it up on a flash drive.
Good.
I deleted it in my documents and tried to send it back to them in documents from the flash drive. It sent it back, but it would not open.
Hmm. Okay. So after you put that software on there, then this particular file would not reopen. It was an XLS file, I'm going to guess, right?
Correct.
Okay. Yep. How long have you had the computer?
Oh, about this particular one, about 3 years.
Okay, only 3 years. Okay, and what operating system are you running?
7.
Windows 7. Okay. And how much RAM do you have on it?
Oh, boy, a bunch. I don't remember exactly. When I had it built, I told him I wanted a really...
It's probably got 8. Probably 8 gigs is usually pretty norm for that.
Yeah, at least.
Okay, so it wasn't the problem of RAM, because...
Oh, no.
We often say, Cal, the quickest solution is to buy more RAM. Cal, were you going to say something?
Yeah, you said you had this custom built, correct?
Yes.
why didn't you take it back to the shop that you had a custom build at and ask those guys how to make it go faster again rather than try PC Mechanic?
Oh, I don't know. I just thought this would be fun to try.
Okay.
Oops.
Well, you know, it was recommended by, what, your son, right?
Right.
Yeah, he had it for years and has no problems. Right. So.
I mean, and just so you know, back in the day, that we in the tech field used to consider it spyware, bloatware, just like Weatherbug is what it was at one time. System Mechanic.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, we don't, you know, when we see people paying $50-$60 for it, we're like, we kind of cringe a little bit.
Well, because they claimed that PC Mag said this was the best program you could buy.
Yeah, I mean, when you're a paid advertiser at a magazine, sure.
There you go.
That's
a problem. Yep. That is a problem. Yeah because people look at it and say, well, PC Magazine said it was okay.
Kind of like the Better Business Bureau.
Why do you think that for some reason it's not letting them open that one folder, Shane?
Who knows? It could be just a corrupted folder. I mean, there's so many different things it could be.
Well, I have another problem. I put the same system on a laptop. That $59, you can download it 50 times per year.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
I put it on a laptop and had a problem there too.
Yeah. So it's probably the program. That's what I'm saying. When it was going through its cleaning process, the program itself is corrupting that folder. It could be something with the name or the file.
Since it's corrupting. Left the email for you today, I removed the program.
Okay.
And now I'm back to normal.
Right.
Yeah.
So it wasn't. It may have not have corrupted it, but what it did is it prohibited you from accessing those files because possibly it misidentified them, or it was introducing a problem in which you know, and we haven't. Article about this that, you know, if you want additional support with our product, please call this 900 number and we'll charge you $150 to help you troubleshoot your additional problems. I mean, that is not within the realm of possibility. I mean it's possible that they...
It never ends.
It never ends, right.
So, guys, what kind of solution can we offer to this?
Well, you know, I'm gonna do it a little bit differently than I normally would. And, Dennis, this is the deal. When you don't feel well, you can go to the drugstore and buy, you know, an antacid and take it, and sometimes it'll fix it.
Uh-huh.
And then sometimes it won't fix it because you actually are having a problem with having, you know, I don't know, appendicitis or something like that. I'm going to say if you felt comfortable dealing with the shop that you bought that computer from, I'd take it back to them and ask their opinion. Say, hey, guys, this thing's not working right. I tried the System Mechanic. It didn't do what I wanted to do. You guys built this machine. Tell me, what can I do to make this thing work better again?
Mm-hmm. And that's a phone call or a visit, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Do you have, Shane, do you have that coming, people coming back with their systems? And
all the time.
Yeah.
All the time. But, you know, I mean, $59, it may seem a lot, but, I mean, it's still cheaper than having a technician do a tune-up on it, you know, because...
But you have a technician doing the tune-up.
And it's going to work.
Yeah, that's exactly.
You're not going to pick up the machine and it'll run better. It'll probably run better than it did when you first bought it.
And the other side of the coin is that because he bought it from that company, they have a relationship there. Hey, you never know. You might walk in. They may say, hey, we'll take care of it, you know, for a reduced rate because you're a standing customer with us because they want you to come back and get another one built with them.
Yeah, I've had them build 3 or 4 of them. Yeah.
Well, there you go.
You've got a relationship that's probably just wonderful there. I'd go back to the professionals and ask them what they can do.
One of the things that strikes me out of this, with people listening, it can seem like a software answer. That $59 is a one-time shot that'll a magic wand. It's never going to match taking it back to a shop and having them look at it, because they're going to see so much more. Dennis, I hope we've helped you with that. We'll probably be answering your email as well to see if we can get you some more advice. All right, Denny?
Okay, thanks a lot.
Happy holidays to you. Thank you so much for calling and for being there for us. Back with more answers to your questions in just a moment. Thank you for joining us here. Hour number 2 of the Internet Advisor. For you folks who are listening to us right now, we are answering questions that we received via email. People go to internetadvisor.net, they click on the Contact Us button, and from wherever you're listening to us, if you're in Muskegon listening to us, or Lansing, or Grand Rapids, or any of the other places you're listening to us on our podcast, Houston, for instance, one of our old friends is down there, simply go to internetadvisor.net, click on the Contact Us button, and then you can put your question in there. We'll get our answer for you as quick as we can. Today, we're going to be talking in just a minute with Dorothy about a problem with a Zeus Trojan. But before we get there, Shane, you have an article, actually.
Yes.
That has to deal with something that you've been running into in your shop.
Every day.
At Comtech Services out there in Sterling Heights, you guys every day are having somebody coming in and talking about this issue. Why don't you tell me what the issue is first?
Well, there's a lot of, you know, you'll be sitting at home one night and you'll get a phone call. And they'll say they're from Microsoft, a Microsoft representative.
Or Comcast or whoever.
Or even FedEx now.
Yes.
Oh, really?
Oh, FedEx now? Now, this time of year, FedEx is the big one. Because of holiday shopping and gifts that are coming to your home. Oh, you know, we were by your home and we missed you and you weren't there. And we have all these Christmas gifts to deliver.
Oh,
where are you? You
know? Dear.
So go to our website. Here's, you know. But what's going on is they're calling you and they're having you get on your computer. They're remoting in, and then they're saying, oh, yeah, this is broke. This is, needs to be fixed.
Now, they have to ask you for permission to remote in.
Correct, but you're under the impression that it's Microsoft.
Yeah.
So you're like, okay, well, Microsoft wants to come in and clean my computer. Well,
wow.
Sure, come on in. You feel important.
Yeah.
And after about, it isn't right away. It's probably about 20 minutes, 30, 40 minutes. And then they show you all these errors and problems and cookies, things that are supposedly really bad.
Right.
And they just show you your typical, you know, log report on a computer.
Right.
And it's no big deal.
And they may have introduced their own Trojan at the time.
Correct. And then they'll say, well, we can fix this for X amount of dollars. And it's usually pretty high. It's usually a few $100.
Mm-hmm.
And we just need a credit card number. And as soon as you put it in, they'll go in and they'll attempt to clean your computer.
Now, I understand from the article you got in front of you that Microsoft isn't going to stand for that anymore.
Well, I mean, that's what they say, whether they're going to or not. I mean, yeah, there are a couple companies here in the U.S., the Omnitech,
mm-hmm.
and then there's one that was using our name, Comtech, out in the West, on the East Coast, that was doing the same thing.
Oh, no.
We were getting calls that, hey, I paid your money and my computer's still infected. And I'm like, whoa, not us. Trust me.
Oh, my word.
But the majority of these are overseas.
Yep.
So I would say 90% of the calls you're getting one from overseas.
Okay. On that note, let me bring our next guest on. Dorothy, welcome to the Internet Advisor.
Thank you.
I don't know if you were able to hear any of that conversation. Were you able to hear that at all?
No. You mean in Michigan State?
No. What we were talking about was the people who are trying to get into your computer and to, you know.
No, I can't. All we get is the Michigan State.
All right. Well, then, here's what happened. You are precisely the kind of person that got nailed by this scam. Your email said, I called the number I saw for Hotmail to ask a question about adding something to my contact list. When they wouldn't go. All right. A man who spoke broken English said he would find out the problems remotely. So you let him into your computer. What did that mean when you say you let him into your computer?
Well, they want me to go click on this thing for remote control, and they give me a code.
Okay. How did you find out about the site that you went to in the first place?
I've just getting on the computer for Hotmail. I was having trouble getting addresses, a new address in my Hotmail, so I think I typed in Hotmail contact, and that's how I found it.
Hotmail contact, and you Googled for that particular thing, and then what it brought up was this first link, right?
Yes, and I believe they gave me a phone number I may have called. But,
okay.
There's nothing wrong with my computer.
No.
And so we were very suspicious, and I put my husband on the phone, and the minute he heard the broken English, flags were going up.
Yep.
So what I did is when I got off, well, I did call a computer store here, and he said there was no direct number for them anyway.
Right.
I took everything off my computer that had been downloaded that day.
Okay.
Except maybe Microsoft updates. So I took it all off. And they had put more than just the remote control deal on it.
Very smart. You're very, very smart. That's
good.
Yeah,
for you.
Yeah, so I got that off. And first thing I did is unclick that remote deal so they couldn't put anything on later.
Okay.
And I don't think they did any damage.
So you took it to the shop, right? That's what Cal...
No.
You haven't yet?
No. No, but when I was on the remote control thing, they turn on this thing like a scan where there's things
yes.
going up and down.
Yes.
And it showed telephone listening. And they said, they're listening. He said, it's not just your computer. It's your whole system. They are eavesdropping. And who knows what all damage they're doing. They said, this is the worst one. It's from Russia.
Okay.
And I could see the phone thing. I thought, oh, boy, somebody's even listening to our phone conversations. And I thought, oh, you know.
So, Dorothy, then it sounds like what you did. You then just kind of stop things and unplug it?
Unplug the computer?
Yeah, but you said you stopped this?
No, I went into controls. Well, my first thing I did, I went in and we hung up,
yep.
you know,
good,
from
good.
Them. I went in and undid the remote control thing, and then I went through my controls, and every program that had been added on that day around that time, I
now, Dorothy, just for the sake of other people who are listening as well, Ed, could she have accomplished the same thing by doing a system restore at that point?
Probably, but it's wise. I like the way she did it as
okay,
well.
Okay, good. You know. It's a little more time consuming, but it's going to be...
Well, then you...
Unless they put a rootkit in there.
Well, that's doubtful.
Okay.
What?
A rootkit is doubtful. I mean, it's always possible,
okay.
but they'd be in a heck of a lot more trouble with federal investigations and people filing lawsuits if they put on a hidden program rather than just a consensual, you know, conversation over the phone installed a program.
Yeah, they're not putting many viruses on the machines or anything like that. They're putting, you know, stuff like Optimizer Pro and these bloatware programs.
Yes, that was one.
Right.
Yeah, and this is actually the first part of the scam. Unfortunately, you know, fortunately, you didn't pay anything. You didn't give him the credit card information. But that's the very...
He said I should need it to take it in someplace. So we don't understand how he was going to make
it. It was coming.
Yeah, it was coming.
It was coming. Oh, I mean, what happened? See, this is part of the scam. It's a long-term deal.
Yep.
This is where they're going to talk to you, and eventually they're going to get some money out of you.
Yeah, they're going to call you back, and they're going to be your best friend. Mm-hmm. They're going to call you back a couple days later. How did it go when you took your computer in?
Yeah.
Oh, you weren't able to do that. Well, you know what? I can go in mm-hmm. there, and for $168, I'll be able to fix your computer.
Now, Dorothy, where do you? What part of town do you live in? What part of the state?
Fort Gratiot.
Mm-hmm.
North of Port Huron.
North Port Huron. Okay. Do you know of any shops up there, computer shops, in the Port Huron area?
Yes. I had called Advanced Computer.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's about 10 miles from here because I have taken it in there.
Okay.
And I asked him, and he said, well, they don't have a direct line. It's
excellent. Okay.
So back to your original problem, though, because we realize this is a scam. You've done the right thing. Were you ever able to resolve your issue with
yes,
the hotmail?
Yes, I was. I found out which button to push.
Oh, there you go. Well, good for you.
You've done a great job, Dorothy. I want to commend you for that.
You guys really helped me. But I figured you had helped me before what security to put on here, you know, to get rid of, I didn't have to pay for security.
Right.
You said Microsoft spends all that money, so I did what you told me to do. So I thought, well, now, since I got that on there, I shouldn't be getting anything.
Exactly. Right? And this is part of what they're working on with these scams mm-hmm. is it's a con game, right?
Yeah.
It's basically a con game,
yeah.
And a con game starts with building a level of confidence with you, comfort, trust. And your husband, I think, was right, first of all, the flag of the foreign mm-hmm. accent.
Because believe it or not, I've had customers, and I said this before, 3 weeks later, because you got to remember, after they're cleaning their computer, there's a lot of downtime. So there's a lot of chit-chat between you and this person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you learn about his family, and he lives in India, and you learn about the weather, and his kids are in school, and one's playing a music instrument. And then, all of a sudden, 3 weeks later, you get a call from whomever this person was. You're going to know him by the first name. And their son was hit by a car, and he has no medical insurance, and they're in desperate need for American generosity. And believe it or not, you'd be surprised how many people will give them money.
Yep, and they count on people's generosity. It's the old con game.
America's generosity.
Yeah.
This only works in this country, just so you know.
And
we're getting calls. I think we had like 3 or 4 calls, maybe a month apart, on somebody from... said they were from Microsoft that wanted to help us with their computer, but we never called them.
Good
for you. So we said, and it was broken English again.
You know, Dorothy, where this is coming from is, you know, when you hear about all these companies that have these security breaches and they lose your information.
Sony TV.
This is where that stuff is going.
Yeah.
You know, not necessarily a threat where they're going to go into your bank account, but they're getting your information, your phone number, your name,
identity,
your address, and then they're calling you, and that's how they're using it.
Yep. Dorothy, you've done a great job here. I would suggest taking the machine if you want to be, very, very, very sure that you're clean. Take it down to that advanced computing in Port Huron. Hey, and then send us the information about them if you really like what they do for you, and we'll put them into our trusted computer repair shops, okay?
Okay, I will do that. Now, if
I can't hang on. I have to put you on hold. We'll talk with you in just a minute, okay? Thank you. We're back to answer more questions here on the Internet Advisor. Before we finish our last segment here and say happy holidays to all of you, I want to thank Mike Stett and also Annie Nichols, our lady of the phones, who have been helping us to connect our listeners to our program this afternoon. Thank you very much. And by the way, coming up this next week, we're going to be talking, we'll be on live at our flagship station, WJR in Detroit, from 4 to 6. Terry Takai is going to be with us. She was our state CIO and then was a CIO for this Department of Defense. Back working with the health industry now in our state. We'll be in our studios with us as we look back on 2014 and our predictions.
We're going to. I'm going to do predictions again?
No, we're going to link to our predictions.
Okay, good.
That we made last year and just see how we did.
Oh, that's even worse.
Yep.
And I used to support Terry Takai and then Gary Baker afterwards. So that's don't right. Tell her that I'm on the show. Let's see if she recognizes me.
She's coming in the studio. Oh, dear.
How can she not?
I better get the men's aggression, you know, get the whiteout. Yeah.
That's coming up next week. I hope you'll enjoy that.
You've got time to grow a mustache and get those glasses.
Yeah. Hey, guys, two things. Well, first of all, before we get to our last question, Cal, you're going to be handling that one from Jan.
Okay.
And it's about a slow desktop. One of the things I saw as a headline just before I came in was that the FBI is now confirming that North Korea was behind that attack on Sony Pictures. First of all, do you still buy it or are you still skeptical?
I think they have learned how to spin. North Korea has learned how to spin very well. So I don't buy anything they say.
Okay. Shane?
Well, of course, I believe.
Do you think it's North Korea?
Of course.
Of course. I do too.
Yeah, I mean, they're the only ones affected by this. I mean, this whole... The movie is one thing, but the Sony thing. But I think it's all has to do with they knew this movie was coming out.
Yeah,
And they're very, you know, they're proud. I mean, he is proud. He's egotistical megalomaniac.
Yes. Kim Jong-un, I mean, the leader. Okay, so you see it as a legitimate state response. Some people are saying this GOP is Guardians of Peace. Yeah. I think it is. That's the hacker group going by is not North Korean. I think regardless. Oh, Cal, first of all, do you agree it's North Korea? Do you think?
I think it was in bad taste for someone to create a movie about assassinating a standing.
Well, absolutely.
Yes, I do. I do too.
I agree.
You know, that
I
takes
agree.
Some of these movies just a little bit too far. I mean, some movies they infer some Middle Eastern dictator, and you just assume because of the makeup, even though they go by some other name.
But we, you know what?
But it is a movie.
Well, we can't go into that because okay, bad taste, good taste, it doesn't matter. It's still our American right to put out whatever movie we want to put out.
Yep.
American people have the right to see it or not see it. Okay, for them to pull the movie.
Because well, people have said it was a lousy movie thing to begin with from what they've seen, but now everybody's going to want to see it just to see what the thing
was. Exactly.
Maybe that's just the part of the whole ploy in the first place. Maybe there is nobody behind it.
Well, you know, and one thing we were saying during the commercial break is some of the information that was released was basically what lousy security Sony had to begin
with. That is, I think, one of the key issues. But what bothers me about this is that a group of hackers outside of the U.S. has been able to have this kind of incredible impact on a major corporation here in the U.S. I mean, everything that was on their servers, the social security number, the employee information, movie scripts, everything is out in the public now.
Why should that even surprise you that we only in the U.S. we can have people that talented to do that? No, it's all over this world.
But what they've done in essence, though, and you've seen this, the theaters are refusing to show the movie. It's blackmail, and it's working. What do you think that's going to do for future attacks?
Yeah, but they're not an American company, so they can do what they want. I mean,
no, it doesn't, but I don't think that's the issue. I think the issue is that you've got a major corporation which may, with the following lawsuits, may be wiped out of existence. Mm-hmm. What happens if they go after General Mills? Or they go after some other company.
Well, just stop eating cereal.
Exxon?
No.
Just stop
no.
driving your cars?
But oil and electric companies are big targets.
Okay, so what are you saying? We go ahead and show the movie and see if they're really going to come through on the threat?
I don't think the movie is the issue. What bothers me is that a foreign group, a group of hackers outside of this country, it seems, have been able to come in and have been able to have this kind of massive impact on an American corporation to the extent that they may wipe it out completely, financially wipe it out.
Well, yeah, but then, you know, we don't talk about this when a certain country decides, hey, let's spin some centrifuges a little faster.
Absolutely.
You know, so it's all over. It depends on what they want to do. And what do we do in this particular case? As a citizen, you make your choice. Do you want to push and say, yeah, I want to see this movie, I want this to be out, whatever? Or as a citizen, you can say no. It goes wherever way
you
want
something?
It to go.
I don't care what the citizens say, to be very honest with you.
Sony.
I want to know what the corporations are saying in this country. I want to know what the people who are controlling our power are saying in this country. And on that rate, I'm glad I'm in Michigan, because there's a full-on program going on right now to secure our basic services, our electricity, our water.
As far as taking care of our infrastructure, yes, I'm in full agreement with you. I think that's critical. If a corporation is sloppy enough not to take care of their own security and they get burned, hey, that's just the price of admission.
I agree. But in my case, it bothers me that the blackmail worked. You know, and what's that going to do to other people who may get the letter, who may get the email sent to them, we're about to take your servers and put them online? And obviously they have the ability to do that.
No one likes being caught with their pants down, and that's what this is. You and I, you know, maybe I needed to get better medical insurance, or maybe I should have got that identity protection when my credit card got taken, and that way I wouldn't have been, you know, left holding $4,000. You know, none of us like getting caught with our pants down, and Sony just big time, right?
Yeah.
And And they also released all the salaries of all the highest paid executives in the world. It's incredible what these people
make. And you know what? This is probably good for the country more than it is bad for the country, because now there's other corporations going like, hey, you better go downstairs and see if those servers are tighter than what we think they are.
Exactly.
Let's double check and make sure these things are right.
And you know,
because
how many,
we're not going to go down that same path.
How many times have you and I spoken to people in our industry, not necessarily in our company, or in the various companies that we've worked for, but how many times have you said you get a person that goes, you know, may not be secure. I think we need to spend another $200,000 to make this really secure. And then it goes right up the chain, and then it just disappears.
Yep.
You know, nothing happens, and you're going, we're vulnerable. We're vulnerable.
There are emails out there that will show that process that went on with Sony,
and they
ignored it.
Yeah.
They ignored it. And I hope, you know, in some ways I hope that 2014 is closing with this kind of a catastrophe, because it is a warning that there are groups that are capable of getting right down to the last little bit of information in the basement of your company and putting it out for all the world to see.
Yep. Well, the cat's out of the bag. This is the beginning of this whole cyber thing. This is
kind of cyber war is going on.
Yeah, but I think this is the first time I think we can put a finger on this is the beginning of something new to come. You know,
but Cal, you talked about it. When did Stuxnet go out? Was it like four years ago?
Well, that's when it was announced, but they said it was on the servers for 7 years.
Yeah, we all know that it's been going on for a while.
Yeah, so I mean, you know, nobody's clean. I'll put it that way.
No.
But you know, you say the blackmail. Like I said, I think it's a good idea. It happened, and now we're going to get better. I mean, because it keeps going on every now and then. You know, we had this big thing with the Home Depot thing. We had the big thing with Target.
Yep.
You know, and as every time
one Staples.
Every time one of these things comes out, people start thinking, you know, maybe we just better fix this.
So I think that maybe, do you think we'd be right to call 2014 the year of the hackers?
No, I wouldn't go quite that far.
No, I don't think we've seen anything really yet.
No, but I mean, this year has been defined in many ways by a lot of these catastrophes that have gone on.
If this same catastrophe would have happened for another company other than an entertainment company, I don't think we'd hear as much
about it. You're absolutely right. It has caught the public attention precisely because of some of the juicy details that are in there. Well, hey, folks, I hope that for you, the cautionary tale has been that you need good security. You heard us talking to Dorothy. She was smart. Right away, she cut the line and went to pulling out the stuff that was on there. Ed, you've got some great resources in our toolkit. You can go to internetadvisor.net, find them there. There's some great resources, Shane, at Comtech, at your company, and a lot of the other local places. Take your machine in there, talk to the people. They'll help get yourself fixed. And Cal, you've got a Mac Group meeting coming up soon.
Yeah, matter of fact, tomorrow, the 21st of December, we'll have our annual December meeting, and we are going to be talking about security and those sort of things. So
Excellent. Please
feel free, if you're in the area, to come on out and check us out at macgroup.org.
Everybody have a great holiday. We'll see you back on December 27th with the Internet Advisor.
You've been listening to a podcast of the Internet Advisors Show, the longest-running, locally produced computer show in Detroit radio. If you'd like to find out more about our weekly show, ask a question of our experts, or find the show notes for this podcast, visit internetadvisor.net. And you'll also find us on Facebook. Thanks for listening.